events, they were a fulfillment of the prophetic prophecies. They were absolutely sure to take place. Amen. There's prophecies that have been in that are in the Bible that are going to take place. It's not a question of maybe or might. It will come to pass. Amen. God's word is going to come to pass. Amen. And I'm not trying to scare anybody because I'm not afraid. In fact, I am looking forward to the coming of the Lord. I'm looking forward to read the back of the book. We win. There's good stuff back there. Amen. Praise the Lord. The prophecies of the Lord, they will come to pass. Praise the Lord. In fact, it is the hope of the church, the body of Christ. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse number 20, it says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." Amen. My friend, I want to belong to Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to serve the Lord. Amen. There is a high hope and an excellent expectation. There is a high regard for what the Word of God tells me of His coming. Amen. Jesus Christ could not be held in the grave. Amen. It was His plan from the beginning that there would be a Redeemer. Amen. Praise the Lord. First fruits literally means a beginning of sacrifice. Amen. It was the first gathering of the grain and of the fruit of a new harvest. The first time they go out into the field in the fall when the grains and when the increase, the field is full and ready to be harvested, when they begin, that is the first fruits. Amen. Nothing has injected more hope into the world than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. It is an event that changed the world forever. Amen. It is the greatest event that has ever happened on the face of the earth. Amen. When Jesus Christ could not be holden of death, that He had victory over death, hell, and the grave, and He came Himself to be risen again. The crucifixion of Christ, it was not a defeat. It was a victory. A victory of righteousness. Because Jesus Christ rose again, because He made the sacrifice, it gives us that promise in the Word that we shall be risen like Him. That we can join Him in His glory. Because He defeated death, we also can defeat the grave. Amen. It's a great promise. Amen. It's something to look forward to. Praise the Lord. The verse just before these, verse number 19, I had just read verses 20 to 23, but in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19, it says, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ." You see, I am so blessed by the Lord. My life is way better serving the Lord than it would be being a drunk in the ditch. Right? My life is way better serving the Lord than it would be being addicted to the things of the world. Amen. My life is way better serving the Lord than it would have been being selfish to myself in the world. Praise the Lord. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, my hope in Christ goes far beyond this life. For if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are, of all men, most miserable. You know what? My hope goes far beyond. Far beyond. You know, I may be coming up, you know, I'm on the back side of the hill, if you will. You know, and that's not a complaint, mind you. I'm looking forward to the Lord. I'm looking forward to the time that is going to be even better than this. And I'm not complaining. I've got a blessed life. I've got a very good life. Amen. But it is going to get better. Amen. I'm looking forward to my time in the Lord, both here on earth and after this life with Him forever, in eternity. Whew. Praise the Lord. One of the greatest truths of the Bible is the immortality of the soul. Amen. Our soul is going to live on forever. Amen. Immortality. We are not going to live physically on this earth forever. It's just our life is limited. Whether if you're 60 or 80 or 100 or 120, doesn't matter how many days you live in this flesh, your soul is going to live on forever. Amen. But God has planned for us to live eternally with Him in His holy city, New Jerusalem, forever. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to go there. Amen. I've read the back of the book. In fact, some of my greatest, wildest imagination tries to depict what it's like in glory. Amen. In my wildest imagination, I have not yet figured it out. It's better than my mind can even comprehend. The glory of God in His holy city is greater than the mind of man can even comprehend. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 16, verse 25 and 26, it says, "For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Amen. I know it is not possible. You cannot buy redemption for your soul with currency, with money. You cannot give houses or lands, or you cannot give gold or precious jewels, or there is no thing on earth that is more precious than a soul. Amen. The richest man on earth still has to obey scriptures to be saved. Amen. There is no purchasing of your soul with money. Praise the Lord. This life, it does not end at death. There is no profit in gaining the whole world if it costs you. If you lose your soul for everything in the world, it would be a bad deal. You've been taken. You have been swindled. Amen. There's nothing in this world worth losing your soul for. Amen. There is eternal life. Our hope, the hope of the church, the hope of the body of Christ, the hope of all those that are in Jesus, we have that hope that we will live again because He rose from the dead, because He rose and defeated death, hell, and the grave, because He came out of the tomb. We have hope forever to be with Him. You see, someone say all. All humanity will be resurrected. The wicked as well as the righteous. They shall all be resurrected. Every soul is going to live for eternity. Now, where you live for eternity is going to be decided by what you do right here in your life. What you do while you're breathing air is going to determine where your soul spends eternity. Basic instructions before leaving earth, I've heard someone say. The Word of God tells us what to do. At the resurrection, all the bodies will come out of the grave and they will be joined to their spirits and they will either spend eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven or they will spend the rest or continue in hell for eternity. God will prepare a body either for heaven or hell. You know, that might not even be popular. I'm probably not winning any friends right now. But you need to know that eternity is it's a longer than long time. My mind cannot even comprehend how long eternity is. It's forever. Your life, this whisper of a time. And it doesn't matter if you're 10 or 20 or 100. It doesn't matter if you're 150 or 700 years old. This life is a vapor in the space of time. In the space of eternity. The small little bit of time that we get to spend on earth is precious. Amen. It's the time for us to choose to serve God. Praise the Lord. We know that Jesus is alive. We know that we can see in the Word that He rose again from the grave. We know that He's alive because I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I've experienced what it says in the Bible. I know that His Spirit is in me. Amen. Life teaches us that problems and trials and difficulties and hardships, that life happens to the righteous and the unrighteous. The troubles in life, they are inescapable. Stuff is going to happen in this life. But you can never escape the absolute of life's difficulties. You're going to get sick sometimes. You're going to get hurt sometimes. Your feelings will get hurt sometimes. You know, you'll have good days and bad days. But God is still good. His Word is still true. Amen. Do not despair because of the difficulties in this life. This passage teaches us that the resurrection is certain. Amen. The rising from the dead is absolute. We are going to live forever. It is not possible that he should be holding of it. You know, Satan thought, oh, we've defeated him now. He's in the grave. Jesus is dead. Had he known that he was fulfilling the plan of God as the righteous sacrifice for sin, they would not have killed him. Jesus' plan included dying for sin, that he would give himself a sacrifice, that he would be the sacrifice once and forever for sin of mankind. And because of his righteous gift unto us, because he chose to take on sin unto himself, it made available to us that redemption. Amen. That remission of sins. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can break free from the chains of Satan's bondage if you desire to become his. Amen. It is not possible. If you choose Jesus Christ, you can live for him. Amen. It is absolutely certain. It is sure that everyone that chooses to live for Jesus Christ is able to be saved. You know, I've heard the ridiculous stories of, oh, if I entered the church, the lightning would strike or the ceiling would fall. You are so full of yourself. You don't even understand who Jesus is. Amen. Jesus is greater than all of your sin combined. Amen. He is able to redeem you. Amen. You see, this message is to show you that through the power of Jesus Christ and through the word of the Lord, through the promise in the Bible, this Acts 2:38 Pentecostal experience of repenting, being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, the presence of God. Amen. It is joy unspeakable. It is absolutely full of glory. It is beyond your highest expectations. It is better than you could have hoped for. It is more than you could have done yourself. It is the ultimate victory. It is liberty for our lives. Amen. You see, you can receive a spiritual resurrection. Amen. Your life can really be born again. There is freedom in the Word of God. Freedom in this experience of Pentecost. A spiritual resurrection. You really can change your life if you'll heed this Word. You see, the day of Pentecost is an Old Testament feast. It was commemorating the giving of the law at Sinai. Amen. The day of Pentecost, Mount Sinai was ablaze with the fire of God's presence as he revealed himself to Israel. Amen. You see, the law, Moses was up there on that mountain, and God, with his own finger, wrote by the finger of God on tablets of stone the law, that Israel may know how to serve him. Amen. How can you know how to serve God without God? I've heard the ridiculous stories. I've heard the people tell me, oh, I'm okay, I'm all right. Me and God, we got this thing. They don't ever go to church. They don't pray. They don't read their Bible. They don't even know who Jesus is. Oh, I'm okay with God. How can you know if you've never experienced God? Amen. You got to have an experience with Jesus Christ. You got to know this for yourself. Amen. You got to know do you know what it says in the Word on how to be saved? Amen. I hope you do. If you've come to this church at least once, you'll know. Praise the Lord. God wants us to be saved. Praise the Lord. The feast of Pentecost was a feast designated to complete the Passover. Amen. The feast of Passover. The resurrection is a type of the cross completion. It wasn't that he just came to die, although that was a part of it. That was an essential part of it. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross was in the plan, the perfect plan of God. But to complete that plan, he rose from the dead. He didn't stay in the tomb. He didn't stay in a grave. He rose again to defeat death, hell, and the grave, to bring us victory in this life. It's a type of completion. Being baptized, repenting of your sins, that verse of Scripture, Acts 2:38, repent, asking God to forgive us of our sins. Amen. It's a part of the plan. We got to die out to our own flesh. We got to die out to our own sinful nature. We got to ask God to forgive us. It's part of the plan. It's not a maybe or a might. It's the plan of God. In that name of Jesus, there is no other name. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other name that forgives sins, that will remit, that means pay for, sin. It's in the name of Jesus. Amen. We get our sins paid for when we are baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. We experience the infilling of the Holy Ghost when God fills us with His Spirit, when we speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives us utterance. Well, how do you receive your personal Pentecost and experience the impact of a spiritual resurrection? Well, one, you have to admit that you cannot save yourself. If you're one of those ones that think, well, I'm okay, and you're not living right, you are in the snare of Satan. Satan has convinced you to believe a lie, because the Word of God is true. The Word of God, if you'll heed the Word, it is able to save your soul. Admit that you cannot save yourself and repent of your sins. Believe that the Bible is God's Word and that Jesus Christ is the Lord God Almighty. Amen. Lift your hands to begin to praise and worship and magnify God. Amen. As He forgives your sin. Amen. As you worship, you will begin to spontaneously, when God pours His Spirit upon you, He will give you the ability to speak in a language that no one has ever taught you. You will speak in an unknown tongue that God will give you the utterance. You see, tongues right here from the Bible, it is evidence that you have received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. What better way for God to reveal Himself to you and to set your heart to be with His, to put your spirit on fire in the Holy Ghost? Amen. You'll feel the glory and the presence of God when you are speaking in other tongues as the apostles did on the day of Pentecost. You will receive the very same thing that they did. God's still doing it the same way. Yes, there is opposition that must be overcome. The Bible gives us power to recover. No, hold on now. I'm going to say something that some that's going to put up your antennas right here. The Bible gives us power to recover ourselves. Let me show you this. I want to show you in Scripture what I'm talking about. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25 and 26. I read this already, but I want to read it again. It says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. You know what? We can be our own worst enemy. Instructing those that oppose themselves. The devil didn't make you do it. Flesh did. You yourself, and you might say, I, is the problem. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Well, we got to acknowledge that the Word of God is true. That what the Word said is the plan of God. Amen. And that they may recover themselves. That's scriptural. I'm reading right from the verse of Scripture. That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. The devil wants you to have aught in your heart. The devil wants you to be defeated. The devil wants you to believe a lie. The devil wants you to think that you can't be saved. The devil wants you to think, oh, I'm not good enough. The devil wants you to think that it's a lie. He is the liar. The Word of God is true. God's Word is true. It is true. People oppose themselves. Oh, my parents are keeping me back. Well, choose to serve God anyway. Oh, my family is keeping me away from God. Choose to serve God anyway. Oh, this or that, or a combination of all the others. You know what? There should be nothing that should keep you from living for God. You should choose to serve the Lord, whether anybody else does or not. You've got to choose to serve the Lord for yourself. It is something between you and your Maker. It's something between you and God. People oppose themselves. The word in that scripture, captive, in the Greek means a self-imposed imprisonment. People build their own cages that ensnare their soul. You think you're okay because you're not so bad. That's a lie from Satan. Don't believe that lie. Don't believe the lie of the flesh. They oppose themselves with false concepts about what God's Word really says. Oh, well, I think... I'm trying to be nice. I don't know how to say this nice. It doesn't matter what you think. You don't even want to hear my opinion. What you need to hear is the Word of God. What you need to know is what the Bible says. Praise the Lord. Some people say that you can't get the Holy Ghost today. Too late. Too late. I've already been filled with the Holy Ghost. I've had people at work tell me, oh, that was only for 2,000 years ago in the Bible days. God doesn't do that anymore. Too late. I've already been filled with, I know it still happens today. Amen. Oh, well, God did miracles in the Bible, but He doesn't do miracles today. Yes, God does do miracles today. Yes, God's Word still is true. Yes, He still keeps His Word. Yes, He is the same God yesterday. He's the same God right now, and He will be the same God tomorrow. He's the same God forever! Forever! Other people say that, oh, you really don't need the Holy Ghost. That's a lie from Satan. Oh, well, some people get it and some people don't. Well, that part's true. But God wants everyone to have His Spirit. God wants to pour out His blessing on your life. Amen. God wants you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That is Scripture. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Point right there in the middle of your chest. That's me. God wants me to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. And there's other people that think, oh, well, some people get it and some people don't. They think it's a spare tire. You can take it with you just in case something happens. No, you're going to need the Holy. If you're going to go to heaven, you need the Holy Ghost. Or hope. I'm going to say it just like it is. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're not going to heaven. Amen. Some people ain't going to like that. A whole bunch of people in our world don't believe that. But it's absolutely true. You need the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Ghost is for us today just as much as it was on the day of Pentecost. Just as much as the day that God poured it out on the body, the church. Just as much as Acts chapter 2. We need the Holy Ghost today. People oppose themselves when they quit fighting Satan's efforts in their lives. I'm telling you, Satan wants to keep you from coming to church. Come to church anyway. Satan don't want you to hear about miracles on Wednesday night. Come and hear about them anyway. Come and believe God anyway. Satan don't want you to know what's going to happen in the end time. Come and hear and come and know what God is going to do anyhow. Amen. Satan don't want you to know that stuff. But Jesus does. Amen. People oppose themselves when they believe a lie. People oppose themselves when they refuse to receive the truth. The truth is, you will live for God now, or you will not live with God later. Amen. That's the honest truth. You will live for God right now because you want to, or you will not spend eternity with God. Amen. Man, there'd be fighting words for some people. You know what? I'm going to fight on the side of Jesus. I'm going to tell it just like it is in the Word. I want to say the truth. People are held captive simply because they want to be held captive. They want to keep living life like they're living. They want to be just like they are right now. with their sins. They are willing captives, ensnared by cages that they have built themselves. We oppose our own selves when we don't believe the Bible, when we don't believe the Word of God. We are empowered by the Holy Ghost to give instructions to those that oppose themselves. If they will heed the instructions, they will experience a true liberty, a spiritual resurrection. Amen. You will experience this born again life in Jesus. The instructions that empower people to recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. One, you must wake up. Wake up. Awaken to the truth that you can recover yourselves from your own snare by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. You can live for God. Amen. You must receive instructions and obey the gospel. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 says, "For what time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God? And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel?" We begin by being faithful to God. Amen. Come to the house of God whenever the doors are open, when church is taking place, on Monday night prayer meeting, on Wednesday Bible teaching, and Wednesday this week a miracle service. Come to the church when it's open. Come if you feel good, if you don't. If you feel like, sometimes people just don't feel like coming. And I agree, that's flesh. But whether if you're the pastor or not, sometimes I don't feel like coming to church. I'm just telling it like it is. Come anyway. Come when you're tired. There's times I've come to church, I'm so tired, man. And then when I begin to worship the Lord, when I lift Him up, then my spirit is lifted. I always, always, always feel better when I leave church than when I came. Always. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now, I'm looking out over the crowd. I believe everybody in here has heard that verse before. Amen. I believe that there are people right here under the sound of my voice that believe that verse of Scripture is true. Amen. Take note, though, in Acts chapter 2, just earlier in this very same chapter, they were sitting down when they received the Holy Ghost. I want to point something out here to you. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting." I think that's significant. "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them." It's explaining what's going on, what's happening, what's being done there. "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." I'll tell you what, God's Spirit is for everybody. Everybody needs to know this Jesus that I know. Everybody needs to be filled with the Holy Ghost. "And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." It was God speaking through them. It was God that was speaking in their lives. They were being filled with the Holy Ghost. The presence and the power of God was being poured out upon them. Amen. But remember, on that day of Pentecost, the disciples and those that were gathered with them, 120 in all, including the mother of Jesus, was there. All of the disciples were there. Every one of them were there. They were sitting down when they received the Holy Ghost. They were not walking or running or jumping. They were sitting. Some people think, well, if I got to run down the aisle and jump up and down, you know what? You don't have to run down the aisle and jump up and down. Now, I have seen people run down the aisle and receive the Holy Ghost. I have seen people jumping up and down receive the Holy Ghost. But it doesn't say you have to do those things to receive the Holy Ghost. On this portion of Scripture, when it was first poured out, they were sitting. Of all the physical postures to choose from, God chose to fill that initial room, the upper room, on the day of Pentecost, those 120 people in that room. They were sitting. He wanted to illustrate a truth that you need to understand. The promises of God are not fulfilled as a result of your toil or your effort or your wisdom or your goodness. You don't have to get good to get God. You have to get God to get good. That's why it doesn't make a lick of sense for people to say, oh, as soon as I get myself straightened out, I'm going to come to church. Tell you what, you ain't ever going to get straightened out. Because you can't do it by yourself. You can't get straight by yourself. He wanted to illustrate the truth that you can't do it on your own. They were sitting. The example given in the Word. You see, He gave us an example. While they were sitting, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. That example tells us it's not what we do ourselves. It's what God is doing in us that fills us with the Holy Ghost. Amen. In 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 8, I also read that at the beginning. Hezekiah spoke words of encouragement to the people in response to the turmoil that was coming against them. And the people rested on the words of the king. With him is the arm of flesh. You know, the enemy is coming against them. The enemy is coming against you. Flesh seems like it is overpowering, that it is bigger than we are, that it's more than I can handle, that it's more than I'm able to take, it's more than I can fight against, that the enemy is bigger than me, and oh, woe is me. If you are on your own, if you're trusting in your own flesh, you're right. Woe is me. It's going to swamp you. It's going to take you out. It's going to overflow you. It's going to overtake you. You will be consumed by the world. If you're depending on your own flesh. With his arm, or with him is the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. You know, we got to rest ourselves. We got to trust that the Word of God is absolutely true. We got to trust that God is able to save us. You can rest assured that the Word of God is true. Rest on the Word that is able to free you from sin. All right, maybe you've had the problem a long, long time. God is bigger than your problem. God is stronger than you are. The Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Amen. We can rest on the word that God always causes us to triumph. Amen. Amen. This too God will help me in. This problem that is right now before me, God is able to solve. God is able to lift me up. And God is able to carry me through the hardship. He's able to deliver me from the enemy. He's able to deliver me in my soul. He's able to save me. Musicians, come on up. One more verse of Scripture and I'm going to close. Stand with me if you would. We need to rest on the Word of God that always causes us to triumph. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. You know what? The favor of God, my friend, is upon us. Amen. God wants to show forth His glory by blessing your life. God wants to deliver you from your turmoil, from your trouble. He wants to help you get out of sin. I invite you, would you lift your hands with me right now? I'm going to open this altar as the musicians begin to play and as we sing. I'm inviting you to lift your hands and to lift your voice and to magnify God with me. There is freedom in this Pentecost. You can have it right now. Come and pray. Come and seek God. Come and love the Lord. Come and magnify Him. Come and love the Lord your God with me. I praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's worship.
1,000 generations falling down in worship. Sing the song of ages to the land. Call God before us. All who will believe will sing the song of ages to the land. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all power and position, your name stands above them all. The angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Holy, all free. name is the greatest. Your name stands above him all thrones and dominions, all power and position. Your name stands above him all. Oh, your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above him all. All thrones and dominions, all power and position. Your name stands above him all. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all power and position. Your name stands above them all. Oh, your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above him all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above him all. And creation cries, holy, and creation cries, holy, you are lifted high. Holy to the King of Kings. Holy, you will always be. Holy, holy forever. Archangels cry. Somebody cry, holy, holy, holy to the Lord God Almighty. What it is to come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, you're worthy. God, you're worthy. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Jesus, we love you, Jesus. Jesus, we praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. I was rereading that account of Pilate and his report to Caesar. And there was one kind of part of it that just jumped out to me. And that part was about how the mob came and the all the people, and Pilate's words were that they all poured into Jerusalem. And it was like they were riding on a wave. They had this just anger and vitriol that was to crucify Jesus. And they shouted, "Crucify him, crucify him." And it was just chaos. Just a mob of complete chaos with angry people. Probably, I've never seen anything like that in my lifetime. Even with riots and things like that, I haven't seen anything like what was being described. And there was, Pilate's words were, there was only one pinpoint of peace in the entire scene. And it was the Nazarene. It was Jesus. And I've been going through some things with my family and my brother, and I ask you for your prayers. But, you know, I can only imagine with my mom how chaotic things, and I know that there are other situations here today. And it just seems chaotic. It seems out of control. But Jesus didn't find peace in the middle of the mob, Pastor. Jesus is peace. Jesus is peace. I'm committed to Jesus. I'm committed to Jesus. God, help me commit my life to you, Jesus. Oh, God. Lord, the more I have of you, the more peace I have. The more I have of you, the more love I have. The more I have of you, the more victory I have, Jesus. The more I have of you, the more healing I have, God. Because you are victory, you are healing, you are peace, you are love, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bring all of those things to my life, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. Oh, let me experience your power. Hallelujah, hallelujah, in my life, God. Let me put all my trust and hope in you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You are my hope. You are my plan, Lord God. Hallelujah. You are everything to me, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Freedom in Pentecost. Freedom in Pentecost. You've got to have it. You've got to have it. Amen. You need the Holy Ghost. Amen. You need God's Spirit in you, helping you. You don't have to leave here without going with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray one more time. A blessing upon our church and our family. Amen. Before we leave, Jesus, have your hand upon us, God. Lord, we pray a blessing, God, upon our families, Lord Jesus. Lord, help them to tap into your word, God, to the truth, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, to come, Lord Jesus, to a greater knowledge, greater understanding of you, Jesus. God, bless their homes, Lord Jesus. Bless their children, Lord God. Bless their jobs, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless our surroundings, God. Bless those that we know, Lord Jesus, to come into you, Lord, and be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen. Everybody say in Jesus' name. Oh, you got to say it again with a smile on your face. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. In Jesus' name. Thank you.